I know you had some stories that you wanted to tell, mm-hmm. Diane. You mentioned the car wash and Main Street and stuff. So I'd be curious to start with that and see what you think.
All right. I was just going to tell you that the reason I ended up in this neighborhood is my grandparents. Uh-huh. They used to live in Old Southwest in the 1920s, and they adopted a child. And so they decided to move. This was the suburbs. The road ended right here at the intersection. That's where the
and
paved
that's Main
road.
Street that you're talking about?
Yeah, Main Street ended right at the intersection, and that was all just a dirt road from there on out. So this was the farthest out. This was like moving out to Roanoke County back in those days. And so my grandfather bought this whole block, and then he sold off all the lots over the years to all these neighbors. But
that's from this whole block, all the
Windsor up there. This just this little block right here. So that's when they first moved. They built this house, and then they moved here with my mother, who was just a few months old, or she wasn't very old at all. And then they eventually, a few years later, built Wasina School. I think that was this house was built in 1924, I believe, or five. And then Wasina School was built in 1928. And my mom was supposed to go to Virginia Heights, but then when they built that school, my mom got to go to Wasina. And instead of having a cafeteria, they all just, it was just neighborhood kids. They all came home for lunch. Like, they just let them out and they'd come home. And so that's how we ended up in this neighborhood. And then my grandfather saved that lot right up behind this house, and they gave it to my mother for a wedding gift in the 1950s, and she built the house that I grew up in. And now they're all dead, and I'm back in my grandmother's house. This is my grandmother's house. So anyway, I've kind of, we've had two families. Yeah, my grandparents and my mother both living in the neighborhood for a long time. I'm just trying to think of things to tell you about it.
Do you have any other family still living around?
Just
in
my
area?
Sister who lives with us.
Okay.
You know.
So you don't have any attachments to the house back there?
No, it's sold many times since then.
What's it like living in your grandparents' house, looking out your back door at the house you grew up in?
Well, because my parents got divorced when I was a little kid, this was as much my house as that. I was one of the original latchkey kids, I guess, but not true latchkey, because I just came home to my grandmother's house every day. So, I mean, my mom was a single mother, so I was always back and forth. They're both... I consider both my houses, but it is weird looking at my own old bedroom window sometimes. But it's just because they're all gone, it's really nice to have the memories, because I can just think of so many things I did in both houses with them. So
when you were a kid, you were in this house with your grandparents a lot. What are some of those memories that you...
Well, I had the memory of when Kennedy was killed, when he was shot. We were at Wasina School, and they just closed school down. And, of course, my mother worked, so we had to walk home. And I remember just sitting in the living room and watching that all day long on television, the black and white TV. We just had two channels, 7 and 10. And then 13 could come in. That was Lynchburg. 13 was ABC. It would come in if you used, you had really good equipment, like with antennas and everything to put on top of your television set.
And now we have cable.
Yeah. So that's really a really strong memory of being in this house. And then my mother was in this house, had come home from church in the 1940s, and was upstairs listening to the radio when Pearl Harbor was bombed. So she always talked about that, how she'd just come home from church and no one could believe, and they turned on their radios, because that's all they had, and they all just stayed by it all day long listening to that. So
is your family the only ones ever lived in this house, your grandparents?
No one's ever lived in here but our family. And actually, next door neighbors, Breslin's, that's almost the same thing. They're four generations next door now. They're moving, so we're really sad. Yeah.
Connie had said that they were moving across town.
Yeah, they're not going to be far away, but it is weird because there's never been a time that I can remember there wasn't a Breslin in that house, so that's going to be kind of sad.
Now James gave me, I made copies of all of the old literature that he has collected, or someone has collected from the Wasina neighborhood for over the years, and I coincidentally ran across the old newsletter where you had written a short piece about Wasina Elementary.
Oh.
And so I was really glad that I ran into that.
Yeah, it was
this.
A great school.
But it sounded like you really had a lot of good memories associated with that. What were some of those?
Well, let's see. Like, I remember when I have the memory of my son going there. That's what I wrote the article about. But when I was a little kid and we went there, what was the funniest thing is the first memory I have of it is I lived right there, and when I went away to school, I'd just been with my mother up until that point because my parents weren't divorced yet then, and she stayed home with me. So when they let me out for recess, I came on home. I just left. I was real shy back then, and I just thought that I remember that because that was embarrassing when she had to take me back up there and tell the principal that I had left the playground, and I remember that. And then I also remember that we had a real dangerous jungle gym when I was there. They don't have those anymore, those things you climb on. and this boy fell off the very top, and I was underneath, and he flattened me and knocked the air out of my lungs. But the teachers always said I saved his life, and I always remember that. But it was just a good school. We had to line up in the mornings outside. It didn't matter if it was six degrees. We had to stay outside. They didn't let you in the school before they rang this hand bell. They'd ring it, and then you could all go in a single file line. And all the teachers had teased hair, bouffant hairdos. They always wore glasses, and I just remember that. They weren't like Mr. Sayers.
It's a little different.
Yeah. that, and then we had such good cafeteria meals. I always remember that. Those really fresh-made buns with smothered in butter and really good, country-style steak and mashed potatoes with gravy. I mean, the school lunches were fabulous back then. So I remember that. And you'd buy a lunch ticket if you were going to get your lunch for the whole week, and they just... they'd use a little hole puncher and punch out that you had gotten your meal. But then when my son went there, well, that's pretty recent, but it's just still a really good school, I think.
That's what it sounded like.
Yeah, we really loved it.
That's great. It is a beautiful school, inside and out.
It is. They did a good job remodeling it. So, but that's my memory of Wasena. Just good teachers. We always, we were proud to go to school there.
Mm-hmm. What were the summers like?
The summers when I was growing up here were just about the best you can imagine. Believe it or not, this neighborhood was, it still is hopefully safe, but it was very safe. Then, see, we never locked our house the whole time. I lived there 18 years and I went away to college. We never had a key to that house. We go away on vacation for 2 weeks, leave it open. I mean, it was a lot of backdoor neighbor friends then. People like this, Connie's husband's grandmother would come over here to my grandmother's back door and go, yoo-hoo. And they, that's the way they always greet each other. And then in our backyard, there was a chicken house. This apartment complex wasn't here, so that was my grandmother's orchard, her gardens. She had everything. She didn't hardly go to the grocery store. I mean, she canned everything down in our basement.
So they were very much kind of growing their own.
It was still kind of suburban here. Even though by the time I was growing up in the 50s, most families did have a car and everything in the neighborhood. A lot of people still use the bus. The bus, even a lot of executives in the neighborhood would even catch the bus to go work at N&W, Norfolk and Western. But usually the mothers kept the car because, they needed it during the day, and the fathers took the buses to work still back then. So that's why these streets are so crowded with cars right now, because back then, of course, everyone just had, no one dreamed we'd own all these cars. But the summers were great because the kids, it was the 50s and 60s, and it was the population explosion. All the baby boomers were born. I mean, every house was loaded with kids. And we had summer camp at Lakewood Park.
Is that right down here?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, we had all sorts. We do lanterns and basket weaving in the creek. I mean, you never were ever alone. I mean, sometimes you wanted to be alone, but there were just so many kids that would come by and you'd sit outside and drink Kool-Aid on the porches. I mean, I was the only kid in this neighborhood that I know of, except maybe way down the street on Windsor. I mean, most of the mothers were home back then. And most everyone was still married. I mean, that was, not hardly any. I always felt weird because my parents were divorced, because nobody else's were. I remember that. But yeah, the summers were great. I mean, we owned the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And there were a few crabby neighbors, and we'd camp out at night in our tents and stuff, and we'd do stuff to their houses at night. We were bad.
There was
this guy right up here that we called him Chip Out Jennings. He was a millionaire, but he was really. He was eccentric and everything, and he was just, he lived like a pauper, but he would always put signs up or glass in his yard. He put glass up, no kids in the yard, and of course, that just made us want to go in the yard, so sometimes we'd take his tomatoes out of his garden, so we rolled his car once, but don't put that in there. We used to do stuff. I mean, we were good kids, but we were pranksters, too. I mean, I think most all the kids around here were good. We didn't have any crime. We didn't have, the kids now, or you hear about all these incidents at the neighborhood forum of kids in the summer, there's more crime in the neighborhood. It wasn't like that back then.
When I was reading over some of these older articles from the paper, mm-hmm. I'm talking back when the neighborhood was built in mm-hmm. the early 1900s, when mm-hmm. it sold the Wasena Farm, or not the Wasina Farm, but that's what it ended up being. Mm-hmm. But they were talking about the bridges down there where the boys would walk across the steel beams when they would actually, mm-hmm. they didn't have a bridge platform. Mm-hmm. So everybody was just roaming all over the place. Did you experience any of that when
no,
you were growing
up? No, because by the time I was growing up, all the bridges were done and everything. The only thing that really is even that different, like when I was first born, of course, Towers wasn't there. It came in the early 60s, and I remember that was such a big deal. Like, I mean, the mothers were all excited, and my mom still was home with us, and they weren't divorced yet, my parents, and she would take my sister and I over there a lot. Like, she put me in my stroller. I was like 3 or 4, and my sister would walk, my older sister, and we'd go over there, and they had a Woolworths and a People's Drugstore, the old-fashioned soda fountains over there were, you know, it was really, and they had the Roanoke restaurant. That's where it moved to. I think it started downtown, then it moved to Towers, then it moved to...
And that's up on Colonial. Mm-hmm, okay.
So the Roanoke, and all that was a big thing when the Towers went in. Because that was the first big, you know, suburban mall, I think, in Roanoke.
Do you remember what was at the Towers location before Towers Mall went in?
No, because I was too little to remember. Mm-mm.
One of the things in that article was that Towers was the first automobile mall in
yeah.
the valley.
Yeah,
so
I mean, it really
did
was.
Did you kind of notice that?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I mean, it was a big deal when it went in. Everyone was really glad it went in our neighborhood and stuff. So, but then the other thing I was going to tell you about is right at the corner, like when you walk down Windsor Avenue where Mrs. Pageant's grooming school and all that stuff is, that used to be the little, you know, where you see where you can pull in underneath. That was a gas station. It's called Mr. Dyerly's Gas Station. And so you could pull in and be protected while you were pumping your gas. And then inside it was a kid's paradise because he had this old glass candy counter with all the penny candies that you can imagine. And then he had the old-fashioned drink boxes with the glass bottles of Dr. Pepper and Coke. I mean, and it was like a dime for a drink back then, I think. And then the penny candy, I mean, we just went ballistic with. You get these little brown paper bags and fill them up, and he'd tell you. I mean, that was always where the kids were. And then where the car wash is, the reason the kids were always around is that was an old looked like a football field. And every night the boys would be out there playing football, and the girls would be sitting on the sidelines just talking and everything. And then you could always go over to Mr. Dyerly's for a drink and stuff. So that was really neat.
That's quite a bit different now.
Oh, yeah. And see, I wish I knew more about the little Main Street village that's right down near the Wasina Bridge, because that, I remember it had a beauty parlor, and it had like a corner, like bar, actually, like a little pub. And it had some businesses back then, but I can remember for sure the beauty shop and the little, like, you know, it was like you see, what's the community inn? Sort of like a community inn was down there.
And when were you born, Diane?
57.
57.
Yeah, so I saw a lot over the years, but I'm just trying to think of anything that really...
And you were born here.
Was born in Roanoke Memorial Hospital, yep. And then I moved, they already had the house built, so... Okay.
Now, in that article, it mentioned that you lived around
the
States.
Yeah, I lived all over, yeah. I was a gypsy.
A gypsy?
Yeah.
What made you come back here?
Well, I had to come back because my mom passed away when I was 40, 10 years ago. And see, my sister is mentally challenged. You've probably seen her before. She had some physical problems, too. But she was supposed, we knew my mother was dying, she had cancer, and my sister was always supposed to move to Florida. And Tom and I had this little mother-in-law house in our backyard that we were going to fix into an apartment for her. So after my mother died, she came down there, and she hated Florida. She cried, because she's always lived right in this neighborhood. And we knew, she just was adamant that she would not live down there. So she came back up here, and she really couldn't take care of this house. I mean, it was a nightmare. And so we knew we had to do something. My son was almost 5, and we were going to have to send him to private school in Florida anyway. The schools are real bad in Florida because it's mostly older people. You know, it's retired people in Florida, so they don't vote a lot for education. So we knew we had to send him to private school. And I thought, well, the schools are always so good in Roanoke when I was growing up there. And she didn't want to move to Florida. So we just decided to come up here and try it. And we, you know, he worked for his dad's business. We always knew we could go back if it didn't work out. So we've loved it. We've loved being, but I really ended up back here because of my sister.
Okay. Yeah. What did it feel like coming back?
Well, I had mixed feelings about it because he really wanted to move here. My husband, believe it or not, everybody thinks it's the other way around. But I felt like I was going backwards and stuff. Because I really loved growing up here, but when I left after I got out of Roanoke College, I was really ready to leave because this was all I'd ever known, and I really wanted to travel. And I thought it was like going backwards to me. But once I got back home, I've loved it here. Just, you know, once I actually made the move and said we're going to do it, But it was a little weird at first because it's not one thing about Roanoke. It doesn't have very good jobs. You know how it is. And we were living in a very affluent area in South Florida, so it was really hard to get used to the poverty. And, you know, I work with poverty kids all day long. I mean, it's just sad to see, you know, because there's just a lot more affluent places in the world. And Roanoke, you know, drags a little behind on the income level and standard of living and all that sort of thing. Southwest Virginia overall. But then there's the beauty and the nice people. I mean, it always is outweighed by all the positives, but that's something you really notice if you're not here all the time and you've just gone away. When you come back, you really notice it.
I was going to ask you what specifics were that you would notice, but that...
Yeah, that's it. Even when I just went away this summer to New England for a while and came back, I noticed it again. You know, you don't notice it when you're here, but you do when you travel to other places. You just don't see as much of the poverty.
What's made you stay?
Here? Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I just really, you know, because of my sister. I mean, I'm going to stay because of my sister, but I just like it. I love it anyway. It's beautiful. The neighborhood, what makes me stay in this neighborhood, I can move somewhere else. I like it because it's close to everything. And I like my neighbors a whole lot. You're one of them. And I like it that I'm near Fresh Market, U-Crops, Kroger. I mean, I'm really close to everything. I mean, people laugh at me in Florida because they can't believe how little mileage I put on a car. But, you know, everything I need is like, I could even be walking more places than I walk. I mean, you know, the movies are right out at the Granite Theater. I mean, there's so many good things about this neighborhood. You know, you can walk through the cemetery, and that's, even though it's a cemetery, it's still tranquil and pretty. You can walk through it and be at all those different places, the health food store, Norberto's, which I love, all the restaurants out there. I mean, it's an ideal neighborhood for anybody that just doesn't want to be going to the gas tank, you know, going to the gas stations all the time.
Now, I know it's not Messina, but what was Granite Village like?
It's exactly the same. I mean, it's just got more stuff now. I mean, more neat, like cooler stuff. But back then, where Surf and Turf is, that was Garland's drugstore. And Mr. Garland was a long time kind of famous person here. Maybe he was on city council. I don't know why you heard his name a lot. I don't know if he was politically active or he was a city councilman. But he ran Garland's drugstore. And that was another soda fountain out there you could go to. The movies were always there. Trying to think what else was out there. It wasn't as cool as it is now, but it was just nice. It was the 1950s version of what it is now.
Was Wasina Park here at that time?
Oh, yeah. It's a really old park. And back then, it was a really nice park, but already then it was having a few little problems, like it still does sometimes. You know, they're always saying that there's a lot of cruising going on down there. And back then, there were some unsavory people that would hang out in Wasina Park, and the mothers would always, sometimes when, like, Wasina School was going to do a field trip, they would always urge them to use Lakewood Park instead of Wasina Park. But I think, actually, Wasina Park is better now than it was back then, because it just, I don't know if it, you know, being a little kid, they didn't tell you exactly what it was, but it might have just been homeless people. I don't know, but our parents sometimes didn't want us to go to Wasina Park. I remember that. They'd say, "Why don't you just go down to Lakewood and play basketball, or go to the tennis courts at Fishburne Park. Don't go." They didn't want us down there that much. And the skate park wasn't there, and it wasn't patrolled as well by the police, I don't think. And it was so, you know how it's kind of off to itself, and it has the river as its border is the river, and I think that were more homeless people living by the river back then. I think that's what it was. They just were scared for us because there wasn't the police. Now I think they go in there all the time, the police. They're really on that part.
There's a lot more people living around it.
Yeah, that's probably what it is. Yeah.
What, if you can think back to when you were, you know, say 10 mm-hmm. or so, when living around here.
In 1967.
Was there a specific walk that you really enjoyed or a specific place or spot that you had that you really liked to go to?
Well, my best friend, and she's still one of my closest friends. I mean, she lived right across the street from me. We usually did a lot of stuff at each other's houses, but when we had a bike trail that we used to do, but it went up into Raleigh Court. Again, sometimes our parents back then didn't want us going that way as much as that way.
Down towards the park.
Yeah, they want us to go, you know, and that's kind of sad because that is truly Wasina down that way. But they always tried to steer us up this way, and we had a little bike path that we did up to Grannon Road and back. And then we used to walk. See, we used to walk all the time through the cemetery to go to Garland's, because we get Cokes and French fries there. See, you could do anything back then. Nobody worried that much, like, about, you know, now that you have to really worry about these kids, and these streets are real busy. It was just a real pedestrian neighborhood back then, because you didn't have all the cars. And then we would walk to Towers constantly as kids. And then there was a big old tree. It's gone out of Wasina School now, but it was just this huge old tree, and they had built a wooden platform around the bottom of it for people to sit on, and we all used to like to go and congregate there sometimes in the evenings, the kids. Cool. There were more kids out then. I mean, this was just kids everywhere. It's really different now in that regard. So
I see a bunch of them around, but
yeah,
they're not like it used
yeah,
to be.
Yeah, and you know, these kids are also electronic. You know, they don't get outside like they used to. And see, remember, we didn't have air conditioning back then, so in the summer you didn't want to be in the house. You wanted to be outside, because it was actually probably cooler outside than it was in your house. So
that's true.
Yeah, I mean, it was hot, and like I say, the mothers were all at home. They didn't want all the noise in the house, and all the mothers said, "Y'all get outside. You're not allowed to play inside. Get outside." So we were much more athletic and outdoorsy than the kids are now. That's what, you know, you see the obesity in the schools. We just were outside. You probably were like that too. Your generation was out more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. My people that I hung out with definitely were outside.
Yeah, well, you know they're not anymore.
And you would know.
Yeah.
Because you're working in the school
system. Oh, so yeah. They were all, and my son's the same way. He loves his computer, all his games. So, but he's running cross country tonight, so he's outside running.
Do you feel that that's a loss, the kids kind of moving inside as opposed to being outside like they were?
Well, you know, it's hard to say, because they say all these, you know, all this next generation, you know, like, you know how technology is going to take off in the next 100 years. I mean, they're going to be pioneers and all that, and I won't know how to do any of it. But yeah, I think they're losing a lot by not being with nature, because, you know, those little people they're playing with on a computer can never take the place of real relationships and stuff. So yeah. I think it's kind of sad.
Have you seen that impact the neighborhood in any way? Just in general?
Because there's not really that many kids in our neighborhood anymore. You know, no. Our neighborhood now, it's a lot of young, newly married people like yourself, and like Brooke and Kim and Jeff. You know, there's not a lot of kids in this neighborhood anymore when you really think about it. So, but most of the kids today, even when they are not on the computer, they're very scheduled anyway, so I don't know that I've really seen how it would affect our neighborhood, and that you just don't see kids out playing. Like, you can go by that school a million times and never see people playing basketball there, whereas when we were kids, that school at night was loaded with activities. You know, we used to go off, and it was modeled differently years ago. We would hit our tennis balls against the school, because it just had this one wall of brick, and we could just practice our tennis like crazy up there, and you just always saw kids, you know, everywhere. And I just think it's not so much that they're all on computer, it's just there's really not that many kids right around here, or like there used to be. I could be wrong about that. Maybe they're all hidden.
I wanted to ask you too, I made an interesting discovery of sorts. I figured out where is it Wasina Hills, the house where Welton and Floyd come in?
Yeah,
the big old house.
Mm-hmm, that's really neat.
What was that like when you were growing up?
You know what it was when I was growing up, and it still might be, is it's a Catholic organization, the Knights of Columbus. It was where the Knights of Columbus met, but it was very scary. Like, I had a friend that lived a few doors down, you know, it's kind of, have you ever really been up there and looked at it? When we were little kids, you know, it was like a big old haunted place, because there was never, you know, they only were there at certain times, and then it was just this big vacated area. So we always thought, told ghost stories about it and things like that. But yeah, it is pretty wild to find that up there.
I was surprised.
Mm-hmm.
I was very surprised.
Yeah. Yeah, but and one other memory I was going to tell you about this neighborhood is, see, Tech used to play all their home games at Victory Stadium, and that was always neat when we were a little kid, because you could hear over the loudspeakers, you could hear in this neighborhood the games, and you see all the people come in their cars with the Tech flags, and the ladies always wore corsages. You know, everyone dressed up for the football games, so you'd see all these dressed up people come to town. Yeah, they really went all out to get ready for those games.
I just can't imagine Tech coming from.
They did. They didn't have their stadium then. And the biggest game was always every year when VMI and Tech played. They used to play back then, and that was a big rivalry. yeah, that's a strong memory, is the Tech games being over there at Victory Stadium.
Did you ever attend one?
No, I don't think I ever did. You know, I attend all the football games in high school. It was great having Victory Stadium. I mean, I understand why they needed to get rid of it, I guess, but it was a fun stadium. Like, I was a cheerleader in high school, and it was a great stadium to cheer at and stuff. So,
Is there anything else that I haven't asked you about that?
I think that's good, Brian. I wish I could tell you more. I mean, it's just...
This has been amazing. I mean, you have...
And I don't really
huge grasp of the history of the neighborhood.
Well, not really, but I wish I could remember more. My best memory, though, of being a kid is that this back porch, that we've got it enclosed now, but that was a screen back porch. And my grandmother, she was a Victorian. She was born in the 1800s and everything. She had an old feather bed out there, and it was a real quiet neighborhood back then. Because like I told you, it was just, you didn't hear all this noise at night like you do now. And every night in the summer, she and I slept out on that feather bed. That is my best memory of being a kid. And when I moved back here, it was still our screen porch. And I said, Tom, we've got to get a bed and put out there. It's so much fun. We didn't even make it through the first night because we put the bed out there. There was so much noise because, see, that apartment complex wasn't over there. That was an orchard. So the first thing that happened is this lady that rented this apartment was up all night having a party or something, and people were in and out the driveway, and I was like, well, we're not getting much sleep, we might as well go upstairs. And then we realized it could never be like that again. It's just too many cars. And every time a siren, you know, every time an ambulance comes to this intersection, they have to sound their siren, so...
It gets noisy.
They didn't used to do that back in the old days, so... I don't even think they did the sirens at night back then, so... I don't remember them.
Well, I wanted to thank you a lot.
Welcome, Brian. I wish I could have told you more. I really do, but I can't. And if I think of anything else, I will let you know.
Okay. Well, I do appreciate it. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Brian. Thanks for taking